Welcome back for another episode of Arthritic Bourbon Bikepackers. Once again, there's no bourbon here because it's 8 o'clock in the morning. We keep recording these in the morning and or 9 o'clock in the morning, and we don't have any bourbon.
Might have to be Bloody Mary Bikepackers.
Might have to be a name change. I have gotten some good feedback from people leaving comments through Spotify. Most of them have been, hey, we're so glad you guys are back. And others have been, when I asked about what kind of things could you do an episode on, someone suggested it would be great to hear more stories about actual rides, tours and things like that. So we're working on a few things just so you folks out there know we're kicking around a couple of ideas about episodes we could do in that regard. So, but today is a very interesting topic, and something that kind of came up post show last time was talking about first aid kits. So you and I have done a couple of rides where it was necessary to have a first aid kit for varying reasons. I don't think we've ever truly had a lot of sickness on a ride. Like, hey, I've got, you know, traveler's diarrhea, or I've got strep throat all of the sudden, you know. I don't think we've had anything like that. But we have gone to the kit for definite scrapes, bumps, bruises, falls, gashes, bandages, all that kind of stuff. But I think it's important to have with you, particularly if you're bikepacking and you're going to go on a trip and you're going to be far away from potential pharmacies and or physicians, you need to have some stuff with you.
I have some stuff.
So tell me what you've been thinking about.
Well, I've thought about this several times over the years.
Well, I guess it's important to note first, before we start that, that you are a licensed healthcare provider in the state of Missouri.
Yeah.
So Dr. Jerry Bergerman today with us discussing the bikepacking, you know, medical kit. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's easy to get in the weeds with this, you know, because you're bikepacking. You don't want to carry everything because you could make a comprehensive kit and decide after 10 miles, you're just going to throw it in the nearest dumpster.
Yeah. One can only pack so many things. That's for sure. But I felt it was important to qualify that you are, you know, authorized and qualified to talk about this topic. So,
but I'm not giving any real medical direction.
Of course not. We couldn't do that on a podcast. This is, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I started thinking about the things that we've had happen, things I've heard about happen to people, and then just stories I've heard in medicine, you know, people that are out camping or doing whatever it is, could be family vacation, and lots of things can go south.
And I think, man, all of you out there know how hard it can be to get in to see a provider, period, outside of going to the ER.
Yeah.
You can sometimes find an urgent care, but in a lot of the places we tend to ride, I'm just thinking, let's just take the Katy Trail, for example. These are a lot of small communities that don't have local docs anymore. Back in the day, you know, the Glasgow of Missouri's would have a local doctor who would be there, but those are getting farther and farther apart geographically. They don't exist in some areas. And even if they do exist, getting in to see one could be almost an impossibility for a lot of things.
Yeah. Some rural health clinics are out there, but they're open 2 days a week.
Right.
You know, so the easiest thing to plan is just, okay, what meds do you think you need to take? You know, we make a lot of jokes about ibuprofen and naproxen and things, and you got to be careful with those for different reasons. But I would say pick one of those and take a few.
So the difference being ibuprofen's shorter duration?
Yeah, and you can more adjust the dose. Each tablet is 200 milligrams. You know, take like, I don't know, 10 or 12 of them with you or fewer. And they kind of look pretty unique. A lot of the like generic brands, they've got that kind of pink cream color.
Yeah.
So if you put all these tablets in the same bag, you know if you're coming out with ibuprofen.
Which is exactly what I do. I mix everything into one bottle. Let's face it. I'm not going to carry separate little bottles for every medication. I dump them all into one bottle and I figure I'm going to figure this out because I've got, you know, a decongestant like Sudafed is a little red pill.
Yeah.
And the ibuprofen is that kind of pinky brown colored one. And so,
And you got to be able to, you know, and then if your buddy needs one, you got to be able to convince them that you know which one is which.
Right. Exactly. And that's good for like aches and pains, fever yeah. control too, if you happen to be running a fever, I guess. But really a lot of, you know, arthritic, which is appropriate for this podcast, arthritic style complaints and or muscle soreness, butt pain.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
There's a reason we listed it first.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably one of the more commonly used.
Yeah. You know, I should say, though, you got to be careful with it because it can cause heartburn and different things like that. So there's a whole different discussion about the, you know, risk and side effects of medications. But this would be one.
Some stomach discomfort sometimes, kind of rough on the stomach. So do you recommend, if they can, to take it with food?
Definitely. Okay. Yeah, definitely take it with some food. And also take Tylenol, you know, and they're usually oblong, white, and chalky, and you can distinguish them from your ibuprofen, you know.
So. Same use? What's the?
Pretty much pain or fever. You know, it's kind of my go-to if I don't want, if I've got an ache or a pain and I don't want the, I don't want the heartburn. That's what I do. Let's take some time.
You can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I've heard people say that it's not as good maybe for pain, maybe some, but it's still really effective for fever control and things like that. Is that the case?
That's been my experience.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you have an injury and you really need an anti-inflammatory effect, it's going to be the ibuprofen or the naproxen. It's not going to be the Tylenol.
Gotcha.
So,
and as far as like the, I know there's some things you got to be careful with as far as you don't want to take too much of either one of these meds, really. You can alternate. Is that right?
Yep. Yep. That's a real common direction from medical providers is I alternate them. If I'm really, say, having had a recent crash and suffering from some rib fractures, I'll alternate those.
Right.
And if I have access around the campfire, I might have some bourbon.
Gotcha. What's the acceptable frequency that you can alternate those as far as?
Yeah, I wouldn't take any more than every 4 hours.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you might even think about keeping track of the packaging. You know, if you buy the little envelopes, your little packs like at the convenience stores, they have some of that on there. If you're not told to read it.
Right. If you have your glasses. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Another one then, as far as oral meds, antihistamines are good to have.
Definitely.
For allergy sufferers, but also if you have an allergic reaction to something.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. I bet there's a number of people that have allergic reactions to things and don't realize that they're allergic to it, like when they're out, whether it be food or, gosh, you even have people talk about they have a reaction to a bee sting or something and had never had one before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is interesting to me. But I think as we know, we age and change, the body changes too. So things you didn't used to be allergic to, you can be, and vice versa, I guess. But
yeah, it's never too late in life to be blessed with an allergy.
That's right. That's right. That and, gosh, man, I'm terrible. Like sometimes on the trail, depends on the season, obviously, but when the ragweed hits and if I'm riding on a trail, or even sometimes just a lot of dust.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I don't react real well to campfire smoke.
Right.
So, you know, whatever it is.
Or that mildewy, moldy tent that's been packed up in your bag for the last 3 years and you break it out, climb inside and remember that you have a mold allergy or something.
You know? And you sleep on a down comforter. Same deal.
Right.
You know, so, my go-to is, I like to have one or two Benadryl or diphenhydramine, realizing that I'll make you sleepy.
Right.
And some people, you know, the older we get, the more I think about these things. Some of it's probably need to be careful with antihistamines because they can have some side effects, sleepiness, dizziness, you know, dry mouth and things like that. So just, you know,
can kind of affect your balance a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So you want to be careful if you're, you know, as you're aging.
Yeah. Now the non-sedating ones, usually Claritin, Zyrtec, you know, I would take a few of, pick one.
Yeah.
And take it with you. Make sure you just know how to use it and you can identify it in your bag.
Right. You know, unique pill look.
Yeah. I also, we talked about, you know, we haven't had any real diarrheal issues, but it's probably wise to have a little bit of Imodium or loperamide. Yes.
Yeah.
I would take that. If you're going, you know, if you're doing a tour and you're on a route, there's a lot of stores and things, I wouldn't worry about it necessarily. Right. But if you're going to be out and about, you might be drinking suspicious water.
Boy, it'd be miserable to be on a bicycle and have traveler's diarrhea. Let's just face it. That could kill your day or make you frequent stops.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are people that have had to hit the ERs and, you know, and depending where you are, if you don't have cash, you're out of luck too.
And that's everything from hydration. That can affect your hydration. and keeping up in that regard as well. That, like sometimes we don't think about, sometimes we just think about, oh, we're going to have to make frequent stops, but also you're often losing a lot of liquid.
Yeah. Well, and there's, you know, let's say the skin doesn't react to frequent loose bowel movements very well. So, you know, we're going to kind of make this, we'll medicalize it. It's easy to talk about things if it's clinical.
Yes. But yes.
There can be some skin issues that pop up. If you have,
which is already irritated from riding on a bicycle saddle. So yes, that's a very good point.
People ask about antibiotics too, you know, and this is a little bit controversial because, you know, I'm supposed to say you need to do this under the direction of a healthcare provider, but I'm also going to tell you that I travel with some antibiotics.
Well, and also I think that, you know, you might have a friend or a person that you could call, whether it be telehealth or whatever, and get some advice on what you should maybe take.
Yeah, should I take this or not?
If you don't have a pharmacy nearby, you could at least communicate to the healthcare provider, okay, I'm here, I don't have access, and here's what I have in my kit. Is any of this going to be useful for my symptoms and what I'm experiencing? So having some of that could be beneficial. But I think we hear this a lot, people traveling internationally and going to places where maybe they might not have access. They sometimes pack some things, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I always do, you know. the thing to realize is antibiotics can also cause some upset stomach, and they can cause some diarrhea.
Right.
So you might take the Imodium.
Back to the other reason. Imodium again, yes.
Yeah. And kind of my go-to, also because I am allergic to penicillin and sulfa drugs, but I think having a couple tablets of Zithromax, pretty good idea.
Gotcha.
You know, if you really got to pick one and you have access to it, you can take, you know, 1 gram, which is kind of 4 of the small tablets, one time should really kind of be it's indicated for treatment of traveler's diarrhea. So
gotcha.
You can do that.
Yeah. And if nothing else, that can kind of maybe get you over the hump until you can get to a location that has medical care or better diagnostics or whatever's needed if you've
got those. Because, you know, even if you're kind of remote, you know, you might be 1 or 2 days to get some help if you're really miserable. Yeah. You know, if you have a sinus infection, it's just hard to sleep.
Yes.
You know, it brings us back to the decongestant. Sudafed's not a bad thing to have with you.
Right.
Should say, that, you know, the pseudoephedrine, the old Sudafed, is the one that's actually more effective. They keep it behind the counter, though. And the pseudoephedrine, if you paid attention to some of the news lately, the FDA looked at all the evidence and said, you know, Sudafed, phenylephrine is not effective. So some places are pulling off the shelves.
Yeah, crazy. So, because I found it to be highly effective personally, but.
Yeah. So, whatever. You know, if you have some, I would take it with you.
Yeah.
I take menthol cough drops too. You know, that's kind of been my elixir.
Yeah.
Maybe it's placebo.
Doesn't matter, does it?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the menthol tends to kind of open the airways, or it seems like it does. Your grandparents would say that there was nothing better than Vicks Vapor Rub.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I also, you know, I have asthma and I have high blood pressure. So I think about that. People should make sure they pack some of their prescription medications.
Definitely.
If they have it, you know.
And we've even had friends that are, you know, either hyperglycemic or hypoglycemic. Maybe they have to take their meds or maybe even take your insulin and really, you know, if you're, you know, that type of a diabetic that needs insulin, how do you best manage that with all the exercise?
Yeah, that's tough. That really is tough. Especially if they're type 1 diabetic. Honestly, in my practice, type 1 diabetics probably know more about it than most of the docs because they know.
Yeah.
They know a lot of them are running half marathons and they know exactly what they need to eat and how to dose it.
They know their bodies better than anybody, don't they?
Yeah. But the thing is, the insulin in the stock has to be stored at a correct temperature. So, you know, I had a plan for that for sure. People that have insulin pumps are probably okay because it's, you know, they know how long it's going to be in there. But that's really kind of a confounder for a lot of folks. We mentioned the bee stings. If you're allergic, badly allergic to anything at all, try and keep an EpiPen.
EpiPen.
Yeah. Man.
Benadryl's a good backup, but it's not going to be as effective quickly, right?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, quite honestly, if you're doing that, if you're one of those folks, even if they're squeamish, you need to have your travel partner's be educated about how to administer
how to use EpiPen. Exactly. Yeah,
and they can't flinch. They got to do it.
Yeah. Jam it in and go.
Show them where you keep it and, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that would probably be one of those things that every person should at once in their life at least have some kind of training on how to use an EpiPen, because there's so many people out there now with allergies, whether and a lot of them are anaphylactic style allergies where they can not be able to breathe. That's what that means, in case someone out there doesn't know. But and it's really a time game at that point for some of them.
Yeah. I've had people close to me had some real close calls, and have a friend who sadly lost a loved one with that type of reaction. So it's just not anything to mess with. So.
Yeah, it is more serious than sometimes I think it gets credit as far as people can literally die.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's a good one.
So, you know, I don't want to talk a whole bunch about hydration because it's, you know, the over-the-counter like Gatorades and stuff, they're, you know, they're better than water.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have to just focus on, you know, a more hypertonic solution. If you've had real diarrhea or some kind of an issue that you're not able to stay on your bike without being dizzy, probably need to just be checked.
Also, a lot of those can have a lot of sugar in them.
Oh, yeah.
So that can affect the diabetics that we just talked about. So you have to be aware of that too, I guess.
It's no joke.
You can be doing a great job of maybe hydrating, but then find out, oh, I just loaded myself with sugar. So
And people rebound and have a low, you know, whether they're taking their own insulin or their body just will make a slug of it in response to that sugar.
Yeah.
They might plummet. And then if they're out in the woods with one friend who's never seen that happen.
Yes.
So should probably say have a simple glucose supply if you are diabetic or traveling with a diabetic who's prone to low blood sugar issues.
And that can be something like a piece of candy. It can be a juice, right? It could be
The gels might work. Might have to really look at the carb content. Right. But they're designed to be rapid. So you can reverse it, but then you'd have to take something else to kind of keep it up there.
Gotcha.
So, but the other things that can happen, you can have injuries, right? Or rashes or poison ivy or all kinds of nonsense.
Oh my gosh, that's the worst. Go trot off into the woods to use the bathroom.
Yep.
Watch where you squat.
Yeah. So, you know, the two things I listed on here that you can get are the triple antibiotic ointment.
Yep.
It's good to keep those, even if they're the single use packages, because, you know, you really don't always use the whole thing. Get a couple of those. They don't take up much space.
Yeah.
If you're accident prone, like some people we know, you might keep a whole tube. Maybe.
Right.
So, and then hydrocortisone is probably okay. You know, the small tubes, you know, if you happen to be going to a place where you know you're going to get something.
Yeah.
And it's probably not urgent, but it might make you more comfortable.
What does it help with?
Inflammation, rashes, poison ivy, things like that.
Yeah.
The itch,
mosquito bites.
Yeah, mosquito bites.
See a lot of mosquitoes in our neck of the woods for sure, and north of here for sure as well. But like you get those big welts up and they itch like crazy. Sometimes you can't sleep at night because you got a bunch of mosquito bites. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's miserable. And you're sweating. You know?
Yeah.
It gets worse. Yeah, it's just terrible. Or it can be. And you can get a secondary infection.
Right.
So you're back to the triple antibiotic ointment.
Gotcha.
You know?
So that'll help with the itch.
Yeah.
And, you know, do the Benadryls of the world help with that too? Or what?
Yeah.
Is that something that can, is there anything you can take that even helps with that? Like I'm thinking poison ivy style. It just sometimes it gets so unbearably itchy.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you.
The answer could be no to that question.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the hydrocortisone is over the counter. You can get a prescription steroid cream that's a little higher potency if you happen to be one of those folks that you might still have some around. The Benadryls help, but again, they make you kind of sleepy, or they can. I don't know. Some people, if you're prone to real severe reactions, like as an asthmatic, I will take prednisone with me that I have.
Oh, yeah. Which is a steroid, right?
Like, yeah, it's a systemic steroid. So, you know, you don't want to take them all the time, and you certainly want to do it under the advice of a medical provider. But I've had gout flares before. And I've had asthma exacerbations. And so, you know, I'm self-medicating, but, you know.
But, you know, you're a professional, so you can do that.
Yeah.
But okay.
That's something, you know, some people might want to keep with them, almost like the blood pressure meds.
Yes.
You know, so. Wound cleanser, maybe. The wipes, those are not a bad idea. if you're not going to be able to really irrigate your wound a whole lot. We talked about if you really have a, you know, a laceration, there are several options, you know, super glue, or the, you know, or the skin adhesives that are designed for that, Steri-Strips. And these are easy to pack.
Yeah. It's not going to feel good when you put it on there, but it'll stick your skin close.
Oh, yeah. It'll keep
it'll keep the laceration close for a while. But boy, it's going to burn like fire.
Yeah. You know, gauze, maybe some gauze or some of the nonstick gauze might be good to keep if you're, you know, really going to be out for a while. Maybe, depending on what, you, what you're going to do, some tape, you know, some medical tape. They're different types. You want to kind of look at them and anticipate what you might need. Some of the paper tapes don't really hold very well. You might want to get some real good tape if you expect you may need to apply any pressure.
Yeah. Well, and you know? I guess if you're truly in a bind, almost everybody out there probably carries a little bit of duct tape with
them. Yeah, a little duct tape, yeah.
That can work in a bind, but having a good medical tape would be better.
Yeah, it depends, you know, but yeah, I think a duct tape is probably any good
kind of
a, that.
Anything that can kind of hold pressure or hold something closed. Or
I even, I've seen people make a sling out of ACE wrap. Now, that's bulky. Not many people are going to want to take that.
Right.
And if you do, then you probably need to take some safety pins or something. You know what I mean? So you kind of have to be able to fashion it.
Yeah, because there's some crazy things that can happen. You can dislocate a shoulder because of a fall. There's lots of things like that that might need to support an arm. Or you might break an arm. I mean, obviously, that's possible, too. Or it might just be so painful that you need to immobilize it as best you can and try to ride one-handed.
Yeah, till the ibuprofen and bourbon kicks in.
Yes, I would. Exactly. It would be terrible to have to go through that. But, I mean, if you're out in the middle of nowhere, you don't have options always. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. When really, some of these things, too, we're talking about putting in a kit, but you can purchase them on the fly if you need to.
Right.
So the other thing I've used before is moleskin.
Yes.
That stuff. You just trim it out, you know, and
how do you describe that stuff for people who don't know what that
is? It's kind of velvety on one side. It's real soft, real sheen. To minimize friction, and it's kind of adhesive on the other side.
It's good for like blisters and hot spots and things like that and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
right?
But you want to be careful because it takes up space. Yes. So it can make more friction, but a lot of people use it for heels and like, you know, poorly fitting shoes or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. So at the end of the day, you want to give your feet and everything a good inspection, see if you got any hot spots to treat, you know. Especially if you've got wet socks and all that kind of stuff, it can just be kind of rough. But as far as a kit, you know, some people take tiny little scissors. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to pack trauma shears, but little scissors that you can cut these things with. I happen to keep a little thing of forceps in my toolkit that I can then use if I were to have to. You know, you could even lay down some sutures with that if you know how to do it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be clean, but then again, if you got a gaping wound and you're in the woods, you're already dirty.
Right, exactly.
You know, so you kind of do what you have to do. But those are useful for bike repairs too. I'm not saying, you know, use dirty instruments for that, but like if you're really in a pinch and you have to really do something like that, there's been some stories about people doing some crazy things.
I would think one of those little small Swiss Army knives that has the little scissors and the little tweezers and all of that built in would just be perfect because. You know, when I think about things that are always happening when we're out, a lot of times it's something simple like a splinter that gets in your hand and you're trying to get it out. And maybe you have a pocket knife and you're digging around in there, which of course won't be sterile.
You're making it worse. Yeah.
You're making it worse. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes just that little pair of tweezers or something to pull out a splinter can be something simple that avoids an infection and all kinds of discomfort.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And you're always in some spot that's causing you total misery the whole
time. Exactly, yeah.
Between your fingers or something.
Right where you grip the handlebar or something, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, splinting is an issue. It's hard to carry anything like that. You probably would notice. If you're a bike packer, you got a lot of stuff on the bike. So you might find that you have something that you can splint.
Yeah, with, this is my click stand.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, yeah, that's a great idea. Use your duct tape and
your click stand and your duct tape, and you've got your splint.
Yeah, depending on kind of like if it's a finger, you know, you can use a zip tie, not too tight. You don't want to cut off circulation, but you know, we all have cordage, an inner tube. You can cut up an inner tube.
Yes,
and use it to tie something.
It should also be used as a sling, like we talked about for your arm. There's all kinds of options out there to be able to makeshift things.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, we talked about this already, is how do you get these things? You know, if you're if you're going and you know you're going on a long trip, you can probably go into your doc or some, you know, if you work for some companies, they have telehealth services.
Yeah.
Urgent cares, walk-in clinics can do this, but you got to be equipped for the copay. But have a list and say, this is where I'm going. I'd like to have some Zithromax or maybe some prednisone if I'm prone to these things, and see if your doc will write you some.
Yeah. So is that something that's fairly common or for travelers, like the people traveling out of the country, let's say?
Well, I'll say this. I've been asked to do that.
Okay.
Quite a few times over the last 15 years or so.
Yeah.
Some things are just like, you know, I'm traveling out of the country and, you know, I've had one guy who just, and he looked like, kind of looked like Reacher, you know, big dude. And he's like, man, I do not fly. I need something to knock me out so I can actually sit down. It's like BA from the A-team.
Right.
And then I've had people that just need to have something when they, you know, they're going on a mission trip and they want to have some Zithromax or some Cipro for diarrhea if they
have
it.
Right. So even one time I know that I was traveling to a location that had high incident of malaria.
Oh, yeah.
And you prescribed something for me to take with me. Mm-hmm. In case there were any malaria symptoms, because it was a third world type area without easy access to healthcare.
Yep. And there were travel clinics. You know, some medical centers have a travel clinic. It takes a little planning because you can't just walk into those places. You kind of have to tell them, maybe come equipped with your list of, you know, immunizations and stuff. And
that was one thing I was going to touch on. I mean, I know that nobody wants to talk about immunizations post-COVID these days, but there are some very practical immunizations that people should maybe consider.
Yeah.
And what do you think those would be?
I think the biggest is the Tdap, the tetanus, pertussis, and diphtheria.
Gotcha.
You know, that's probably really the most easily accessible one. Everyone in this country tends to have, you know, gone through and had their hepatitis B. I would say Hep A also.
Yeah, if you haven't had the Hep B, you should, or in the Hep A potentially before you go. Because those can be transmitted how?
Well, A is one you get just by, you know, street tacos.
just eating off a food cart.
Yeah, it can.
Because some people think, when they hear some of these terms, they sometimes think, oh, well, I'm not going to have any unprotected sex. That's the first thing that comes to people's mind. But the reality is many of these are transmitted just through food.
Yeah, food, you know.
Or close
contact. Hep B has other mechanisms too. But that's, you know, most of us have had that.
Yeah.
And if you work in healthcare, they usually require it because of needle sticks and things like that. Those are probably the, you know, the biggies, but you want to be aware of others. Some countries have had a tuberculosis vaccine, BCG vaccine, that's not as effective as some others, but... you know, if you're from one of those countries, I don't know if they're still doing that or not, but keep in mind, some of the places you can travel have lots of multi-drug resistant TB and stuff, but you usually have to have sustained close contact to come down with that. But think about it. You come back from someplace weird and you've been, you know, coughing and having a fever, just get checked out.
Yeah.
Just come get it checked out.
Absolutely.
So, you know, COVID and the flu, RSV, anywhere you go, you can come up with those things.
Right. So. Right. And all those vaccines still exist out there and are used.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
That's really the biggie. I was thinking though about the other ways to get those. Some employers, they don't have a telehealth line. They have an occupational medicine like clinic.
Yeah.
And they're pretty, sometimes they'll really go out of the way to help you. You don't have to pay for it, you know.
Boy, it's way better than going to an ER though.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah,
expense-wise. I mean, if you're sick, go to the ER.
Oh, yeah.
If you need help.
You can prevent some of this maybe.
Yeah.
And kind of plan for and be prepared. You know, if you have a, you know, we all kind of have our own little pharmacies that we use, but it might be good also, even if you don't have these drugs on you, have a prescription for the drugs that you may need called into a large, like Walgreens or CVS. So that you can have it transferred where you are.
Yeah, they can transfer between the stores and all that stuff.
Yeah, and they'll get you some.
And Walmart, they can kind of do that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a big change,
big
you know.
Big chains, yeah.
That way you can access it. And you can transfer to any pharmacy, but it's usually pretty quick if that's the case.
Yeah,
you know. So that's really kind of the bulk of what I had thrown together.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's really helpful. I think there's a ton of people out there that don't realize that, number one, you can kind of preemptively get some of these drugs to have in a kit for travel. Mm-hmm. I think that's not as uncommon as maybe we think. That most of them, or a lot of them, are generic and reasonably affordable overall in the grand scheme of things. And that you can easily kind of pack some stuff along. And if nothing else, you can call a healthcare professional or a telehealth place to at least get advice and say, I have a kit and here's what I have. We almost call it, in the healthcare world, we call it an e-kit, right?
Yep.
I have an e-kit,
my
emergency kit, and here's what's in it. Is any of this applicable to the symptoms I'm having? And at least you've got some stuff to even get you started.
Yeah.
If you have to go get a longer prescription, you can at least have something to get started, because we all know that some of those drugs, within the first 24 hours, you can start to feel some real relief.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially if it's strep or something.
That's what I'm thinking. Pretty like responsive. Strep, or, you know, they're really responsive to medications. And in 24 hours, you feel 100 times better, and that 103 degree fever you were running is gone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, after 24 hours of getting a med started. So sometimes simple things like that, that you could head off at the pass, can make your trip so much more enjoyable if you're trying to get to.
That's what we're in this for, right? I want to have some fun and have some good stories.
You know? Right, right.
So, but you know, it's not an exhaustive list. And I think, well, the listeners need to realize too that, you know, it's your show. So if you want to take all of it, you can, but you're going to, you know, pay for it with the legs. But,
yes.
You know, pick and choose. You know, what you really want to take.
And it might be different depending on every trip, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, if you're doing more of a localized trip or something that's, you know, more close to civilization, so to speak.
Yeah.
Then that's probably not as, maybe don't take as many things as if you're, you know, biking across Mongolia.
Right. Yeah. Different story.
Right.
Because you can't even read the labels over there.
Exactly. All right. I think that was pretty good. If you enjoyed that, please leave us some feedback. Let us know things you'd like to know episodes about. The feedback we've gotten so far has been great. Spotify makes it really easy for that. I know I continue to promote that only because they have an interesting interface that allows you to answer a question or leave feedback more easily than just an entire podcast review. It's more episodic in being able to leave feedback or comments or questions. We're happy to try to answer things for you. Again, this is not health advice today. This is just our experience, and we're glad to have Jerry here, because he's a healthcare professional, able to give a little bit of actual pro doctor experience with what works, what doesn't work, and how you can get it. So we're everywhere on podcasts, Apple, Google Play, Spotify, as I said. Leave us a review. It really helps the podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again in the next episode.